We're going to do something a little bit different. Before I get into the message, we're going to spend some time reading through this again. And I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes, and we're just going to slowly go through the slides. And we just spend a couple minutes, and I want you to really meditate on these verses. So we'll start from the beginning, and you can just take your time and read through it. So you can go ahead. Psalm 119 is actually a very long psalm. It's actually the longest psalm in Psalms. Do you guys know how many verses it has? Over 100. Obviously. So this is Psalm 105 to 112. I remember in high school when I was reading through Psalm 119, and one of the things that stuck out to me was that the author of this, most likely David, okay? The author of this, David, I said, wow, this person is really excited about the Word of God. Like, he's really excited about the laws. And you know, I don't know, like, that's not something you usually get excited about, right? Is law, maybe unless you're a lawyer or something. But it's like, why is he so excited? Is it the law? I love your law. I love your statutes. They are the delight of my heart. And I was like, who loves God's word like that, right? And I'll speak into that more later. But the first thing that I want to impart to you guys this afternoon is to love God is to love his word. To love God is to love his word, meaning that if you love God truly, deeply, then naturally you will begin to love his word. Right? Take it even outside of God, all right? To love a person is to love their words, to dialogue, to converse, right? It's inseparable, right? You can't love someone yet reject the words that they say. Think of someone right now in your mind that you're very close to. Got it? Okay, so then this person, how did you get so close to them? There's a lot of different ways, right? So how did you get close to them? You can actually say it out. Just throw out a couple things. How do you get close to a person? Hanging out, Sergio, good. Spending time. Time is a big one. Any other things? Conversing, good. Any others? Stan, you can't get out. I'm married to her. That's a good one. Yes, get married to Jesus, right? conversing, right? Talking, right? That's how you get to know someone. You delight in talking with them. You find great pleasure. Maybe for some of you, when you fell in love, right? Usually, when people fall in love, they're, always talking on the phone to each other and, talking for hours and hours and hours. And, back in the day, before my time, it's like, it was very expensive, right, to make calls or something like that. These days, what do young people do? They just text, right? Or they send pictures or whatever. But what I'm basically trying to say is communication, right? And when you love someone, you want to communicate with them, you want to talk to them, you want to hear their words to you. Okay? So this is exactly how it is when you love God. But I feel like sometimes it's a little bit ironic, right? Like, as Christians, we can come to church and we'll listen to the message, but we'll say, yeah, I love God. But then when it comes down to reading the Word of God, to spending time with Him, just you and Him, and just you and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, like, our track record is not so great, right? It's like, I don't really spend time with God, or sometimes it's patchier or whatnot. It's a little bit contradictory. It's like, if you did love God, wouldn't you want to spend time with Him? And that's like, I think that's honestly a question. One question we really must consider is if you love God, then wouldn't that reflect in spending time in His Word? And so as I was thinking about that, I was like, it kind of does make sense now why David would be like, God, I love you and I love your statutes. Okay. It says in John 14:15, let's read that together. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Okay. So not only is you spend time in the Word of God, you listen to God's voice, but then after that, you begin to obey what the Lord commands. You begin to listen to what He says, and then you begin to do it. So obedience and submission to the words is evidence of loving someone, right? And so if you love someone, you tend to obey the words or the requests that they give, right? If we don't read God's word, I think we need to seriously and honestly ask ourselves, do I love God? I think it's a valid question, right? If I am not spending time in the Word of God, then we have to, do I really love God? And I'll talk a little bit more about that, because there is grace for that, I'll share my personal story. The second point I want to share with you guys is that God's Word is alive. Okay? Let's read this from Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I think one of the reasons why we may not value God's word is because maybe we think that it's static. Meaning it's like it's not moving, it's not alive. Sometimes you hear it thrown around, it's like, I don't like reading the Bible, it's just a rule book, right? Or maybe, when you're in college and you're taking that class that you really disliked and you had to read through that thick textbook, it's like, you feel like the Bible is that sometimes. But no, God's word is not static. It's not just words on a page, it's alive. God's word is timely. God's word is powerful. Did you know that every time you come into the Word of God, that God will speak to you? That God can speak to you in a timely manner? That He can speak to you through the Word of God right about the situations that you are going through in your life? It's uncanny, right? That doesn't happen with other books, right? Like, very popular books, you read it and it's like, it's entertaining, but it doesn't speak like directly to you. But that's why God's word is so powerful, is that every time you open His word, it's like the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to you. So say to the person next to you, God's word is alive. One of the things that I've been, some of us, or for me, I follow this Bible in a year reading plan, and it's called Time with Abba. And so I've been doing it for a number of years. And if I'm listening closely enough, God will speak to me about something through his word. Not every day am I the best at listening to the voice of God or listening to his word. But so basically you read God's word and you write down the verses and then you highlight. And basically through that, you're thinking about, okay, God, what does your word say? What does the word say who you are? And then the second thing that you identify through reading the word is, what is the sin or the sinful character traits that I must confess? And then thirdly, what is God's promise to me in the word of God today? So that's basically how the Time with Abba Bible in a year reading plan is structured. And so God's word is alive and he speaks to us. He speaks to me. When I spend time in God's word, if I'm listening closely enough, God will speak to me. So I'll share with you about this week. So this week we were... we were reading through Hebrews, okay? And this past Wednesday, do you guys remember what it was? This past Wednesday is October 31st, right? It was Halloween, right? And so I was reading through Hebrews that day, and it was Halloween, and this was the verse that I was reading from Hebrews. It said, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And as I read that, I was like, wow, that's such a timely word for today. Basically, Hebrews is saying Jesus Christ came to break the power of death and to break the fear of death. And I was like, that's so pertinent to today because we're celebrating Halloween, and Halloween is the celebration of death, right? It's fear. It celebrates fear. If it celebrates death. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, in our culture and even in our nation, people are so afraid. And one of the biggest things they fear is death, right? What's going to happen after I die? But then God said, but actually Jesus Christ came to break the power of the fear of death so that you no longer have to be afraid. I think for so many of us, there's so many fears that we have, right? It doesn't have to be as extreme as death. It could be other things that we're afraid of. But the fact that Jesus Christ came to break the spirit of fear and the fear of death is powerful. That literally means you don't have to be afraid anymore in life. You don't have to live with the spirit of fear. And so that's what the Lord was saying to me that morning. It's like, while the world celebrates death and fear, Jesus Christ celebrates life. And so I can receive the life of Jesus Christ for me and for all of us. Amen? That was Wednesday, all right? Thursday, we just began reading the book of Ezekiel. And in our prayer group, one of the things we've been talking about is being a watchman. Okay, and the watchman's role is to see in the spirit what is happening and to respond with prayer, all right? And so when I was reading Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel opens with God calling the prophet Ezekiel to be his watchman. And when I read it that morning, I was like, wow, God was speaking to me and reaffirming in me, El, you are a watchman. You are a watchman for your church, for your community, for your friends, and I'm going to give you downloads, and I'm going to give you pictures and pieces of my heart so that you can pray for your community. And it's like, okay, I receive that, Lord. That was Thursday. Friday was November 2nd. Friday, I was in another prayer meeting, and we're praying through the book of Ezekiel, and God put it on my heart to pray for the young adults. And in Ezekiel, basically, as you read through Ezekiel, he's seeing again and again visions of God, right? He's seeing the heavenly picture of what it's like. And so we started to pray in our prayer meeting, and I said, oh God, I pray for the young adults today that they would see visions of God. I pray that they would not just feel like they have to live their lives relegated on earth and be, you know, weighed down by all the things that the earth has to do, my job and career and all these things, but that they would see visions of God. And then as we started to pray, I felt like this was such a descriptor for our young generation. So much of our young generation is lost. I mean, they don't know what to do. And now with the onset of virtual reality, you can't even tell what's real and what's fake. And so real and fake is mixing all together. In the midst of such confusion, Ezekiel sees visions of God. And it says that Ezekiel in his 30th year saw visions of God, and he's taken up, right? So he's about 30 or 29. And I said, oh, I'm 28. He's like, about the same time. So I said, okay, Lord, I want to see visions of you. But then as we started to pray for the young adults, he said, Lord, they're about that age. God, let them see visions of God that will call them beyond their job, that will call them beyond the normality of Christian life, and that they will, God will call the young people to himself and say, I want you as mine. I bless you with that. We were praying for you. That was Friday, and that was Ezekiel. All right, so I'm just saying that every day when you go into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can literally speak to you. And it's exciting, okay? It's like every day the Lord is teaching me one nugget or like one golden truth or whatever. And it's exciting and it's alive. Have you experience that as well? Like sometimes you just go into the Word of God, he's like, wow, that's exactly the verse that I needed to hear. Or maybe someone was praying for you and he's like, that's exactly the verse that I was reading today. Okay? So, do you want to experience God's living, breathing, alive Word in you? Of course, we all do, right? That would be very nice. It's hard though, right? Sometimes it's like you wake up, I don't know, for you, I do it in the morning. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, I just don't want to do anything right now. I just want to, you know, sleep a little bit longer, or I want to just, or you just wake up late and you have no time to spend time with the Lord. And you don't have to do it in the morning. You could do it any time of the day, really. But I like to spend time with the Lord in the morning because it helps me prepare myself for the day. For those of you that feel like, oh man, maybe it's patchy, or oh, I've never experienced that. I've never experienced God speaking to me through his word. Or maybe for some of you, it's like, yeah, I've experienced that before, but I don't know, it's kind of, I read God's word in some seasons, and there's other seasons, weeks or months at a time, where I kind of fall off the map, and then I try again and whatnot. You know, there's grace for you today. And I want to encourage you that no matter where you are in your journey with the Lord and spending time in his word, is that you can start again. And there's grace to start again, you know? And sometimes you just gotta reset or make it fresh, all right? Maybe some ideas. If you have a free morning, like take the whole morning until noon to spend time with God. Maybe go to your favorite coffee shop. I don't like going to coffee shops because sometimes the music is way too loud. So sometimes I'll go to Panera. But actually, Panera, the music is loud too, so I'll just bring my earphones. Maybe you go to your favorite place, get a nice cup of coffee and a pastry, and just spend the next 3 hours sitting there soaking in the Word of God and talk with the Lord. Like, really talk, ask him questions, allow his written and spoken word to offer insight into some of maybe the issues that you are facing. So, you know, for a lot of us, like, I don't know how to solve this problem, right? Maybe it's at work or in your family. It's like, I have no idea what to do. Maybe you can bring it before the Lord. Maybe you can sit with him and say, God, here's what I'm going through. I don't know what to do. Please speak to me. And I believe that God will speak to you because he's your father and he loves you and he wants to give you wisdom. He gives wisdom freely to those who ask, right? Or maybe you don't have the luxury of having 3 hours in the morning. Maybe get up at 4:30 in the morning, all right, before anyone else is awake. All right, 4:30 is good because everyone is still sleeping. And just spend a couple hours just like really with the Lord. Okay, so I don't know, some practical ideas. Yeah. God's word is powerful. Say that to someone next to you. God's word is powerful. Time and time again, as I've been in church and doing ministry, I have seen how effective God's word is in doing ministry. This past summer, we were doing a summer Levite school, which is like a worship school for the youth, for junior high and high school students. And so, you know, in the mornings, they would do the time with Abba, so reading and writing down the scripture. Then they would have intercession where they would pray out the word of God. We'd have messages in the afternoon, like sessions, and then we'd have like jams and stuff like that. So there were a bunch of things that we did. And at the end of the Levite school, we asked each of the students to write down their testimony of what they received and in summer Levite school. And so they all wrote it down, and as we were reading through it, one of the things that I began to notice that a lot of what these youth received was mainly through just reading the Word of God and praying. And they didn't remember the messages so much or things like that, which is understandable. Like, you know, you don't really remember it. You probably won't remember this message, you know. What they remember is going into God's word and praying, and then they felt like the Lord actually spoke to them through the word, through prayer. And they're like, wow, God spoke to me. And I was like, amen, that's so powerful. And that's something that I cannot fabricate. That's something that we cannot do. That's just the Holy Spirit ministering directly to the person. And that's the best type of ministry. It's not when the Holy Spirit ministers a person to minister a person to another person. It's when the Holy Spirit ministers directly to a person, because the Holy Spirit can say and do and touch a person in a way that we cannot do, right? This past weekend, I was in Taiwan, and I was serving at this conference. It was called Full Gospel, and there were 300 men with some women, but mostly men. And what we did in the morning is that we just take them through the Word of God. So again, we just read God's Word, write it down, you know, and then afterwards we go into a time of intercession. We just pray. And one of the things that was exciting to see was after that weekend, a lot of what they received was not through the messages again, but really through just reading God's word and praying. And, you know, I've been doing this for like over 10, 15 years. So sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, time with Abba and reading God's word is, you know, it's like, yeah, it's, I do it. But after seeing them, some of them were so excited. Afterwards, they're like, this is amazing. He's like, they didn't know that God can speak so sweetly through his word. And some of them were coming up later. He's like, how can I bring this back to my church or my community? I want to teach this, you know, to people. I want to share with them the sweetness of reading God's word. And I was like, that's powerful. That's the power of God's word. Just this past week, we were, again, having a prayer meeting where we're just praying out the word of God, and we brought a friend along, and he'd never prayed God's word before or whatnot. And when we were in the prayer meeting, you know, it was a little bit tough, right? It's because, you know, sometimes there'd be awkward gaps of silence, and people don't know what to pray. And I really didn't know what he thought of it because, you know, he was not praying necessarily on topic and whatnot. But then afterwards, he said to me, he's like, wow, that was really great. He's like, it was such a focused time. And he's like, I really liked it. I said, really? I said, oh, cool. And then I saw him again on Sunday. And he said to me, I really liked that time when we were praying, out God's word. He's like, we should do that again. I said, yeah, sure, we should. And it just surprised me because, like, you know, sometimes you do things, you say things in ministry, you're not sure how people receive it. But then afterwards, you know, sometimes, not all the time, someone will come up to you and say, wow, that was, you know, really cool. And so All that to say is that time and time again in ministry, I've seen the power of God's word. You don't have to do too much, actually. You know, I think about, you know, how many discipleship plans exist in the world today? Thousands, right? Take them through this, and this. I was like, if you were to boil it down to the most basic things, what does a new believer have to know? So I said, they should probably be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And number two, they should probably be taught how to read the Word of God. And number three, they should be taught how to pray. After that, everything pretty much follows, right? Evangelism will follow naturally because you read the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like, oh, I should tell people about Jesus. So you just go out and tell people about Jesus, right? And so I realized, like, wow, it makes my job so much simpler, right? I don't have to do too much. All you have to do is lead people into the presence of God and say, let's spend time in His Word. Let's spend time praying. Okay? The reason why I think that it's so effective is because you're giving them the tools to pursue their relationship with God. You know what I mean? It's like, you know that old saying or proverb, it's like, give a man a fish and then what? Feed him for a day, right? Teach a man how to fish, feed him for a lifetime, right? Inevitably, sermons like this, I'm just giving you guys fishes, right? And say, oh, you can only hear one message from the person that's standing up here. But if you learned how to go into the Word of God, if you learned how to pray, if you were filled with the Holy Spirit, then you will be fed for a lifetime. Right? When I was in New York and ministering to the youth there, that's what I said. I said, all right, if there's anything that I hope you got out of ministry or my years being here, I said, I hope you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I hope you know how to read the Word of God, and I hope that you know how to pray. If you got that, you're good, right? Because you'll carry that into college, you know, you'll carry that for the rest of your life, okay? So sermons are inevitably giving people fishes, but if you can read God's word on your own, you'll be fed for a lifetime. In the beginning, I was saying David, when he's writing the psalm, one of the things that I noticed, like, wow, he's so excited about God's word, right? He's so excited about the laws and the statutes, and I was like, okay. And one of the questions I was asking is, like, why is he so excited? I believe David was excited about God's word is because he got it. You know what I mean? He experienced the sweetness of God's word. He experienced the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Okay? He experienced the power, how God's word was alive and speaking and transforming him. He got it. Right? Sometimes with my apartment, with Angus and Dave, we like to go out and eat, right? And so, I like going out to eat, right? So, one time I went out to the men's breakfast at San Jose, and they always go to Denny's, right? And, I'm sorry if I offend some people, but I always thought Denny's was like, oh, come on, like, why would you go to Denny's for breakfast, right? Because it's like, I actually said this. I said, if Denny's disappeared from the face of the earth, I don't think anybody would miss it. But the men's prayer breakfast was at Denny's, so I went, right? And then I got there, and then some of the men were there, and then we all sat down, and they gave us the menus. Then I looked at the menu, and there was the value menu. For $4, you can get 2 pancakes, 2 eggs, 1 sausage, 1 piece of bacon. For $4. And 75% of the men at that table ordered the $4 value menu. And I was like, I get it. I get it. I get why you guys want to come here. You know what I mean? And ever since that day, my opinion of Denny's has changed. So I'm like, and then another time, I was meeting up with some other friends, and they said, let's meet at Denny's. And I was like, okay. And so we met there late at night for dessert. Again, I pulled out it was a value menu. For $3, you can get an ice cream sundae. I was like, what? This is so cheap, right? So again, I got it. I was like, oh, I love Denny's now. You know what I mean? I think that's like David in the Psalms. It's a stretch, but you know what I mean? It's like, once you read the Word of God and you see how good it is, like, oh, I get it. I'll give you one more illustration. Last week, you know how Sam was talking about McDonald's? I never really liked McDonald's either because I thought it was so janky, right? I think of McDonald's in the 90s where it's kind of dirty and it's like, oh, you don't really want to go there. Like, outside of the U.S., McDonald's is cool, but, you know, in the U.S., McDonald's is not cool. But Sam Kess, he loves McDonald's. And so Douglas and Sam and David and I were hanging out. And then I said, you guys want to go to McDonald's? And then they said, okay, so we went to McDonald's. It was the one off of Tolley. It was so nice. Have you ever been there? Like, they have the screen and you can order off the screen. And again, one hamburger was only $1. And then, yeah, like I'm a cheapskate or something. But like, we only paid like a couple. And then Sam got this really tall, like, iced coffee frap thing. And it was only, what, two something? And I said to Sam, now I see why you like coming here. And he's like, it's pretty good, you know? And so I got it. I hope you get in for the Word of God. I hope that you experience how sweet it is. I don't know if I sold you on that one. God's Word is alive. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is so sweet. If you have not experienced that before, take heart. There is a day that you can experience the Word of God like that. What I was saying before is for the time with Abba, our church in San Jose started doing it, I don't know, like early 2000s or something like that. And so back then I was still in school. And so I remember that I used to do the time with Abba. You're supposed to write down the passages and whatnot. And I actually kept a lot of the journals. In my mind, I was always like, oh yeah, I started doing time with Abba and reading God's Word since, you know, junior high or something. And then I actually found my journals in the shed and I pulled it out and I was expecting to see, you know, all the passages written down. And I actually didn't find that much. It was all just me writing my own thoughts. And I said, oh, I guess I didn't really write down the passages. And I actually realized that as I looked back on my journals, I realized that I didn't really enjoy spending time with God. I think pretty much throughout junior high and high school, like, I did it, but I can't say I enjoyed it. And it was only in college did I start to read God's Word more with meaning, and I started to copy down the scripture and savor it and pray through it. And that I started to actually start to enjoy reading God's Word. But even in college, I mean, there were seasons where I just wouldn't spend time with God in His Word at all. Sometimes, you know, I wouldn't spend time with the Lord in the morning for like a week. I'd let a week pass before I opened up the Bible again and whatnot. And I feel like it wasn't that I didn't love God, but it was almost as if I didn't, you know, taste the sweetness or savoring the Word of the Lord in me. It's like, you know, it's like I had one wheel off of the car and I was driving with three. And, it, you know, it's like you're still going, but it just doesn't, you're not really going, you know. And so, yeah, so I love God, but the sweetness of the Word wasn't there yet. And then I remember it was in 2012, I was living in Southern California, and so I used to volunteer at this worship ministry called Stream of Praise. And so for several weeks, they were going through a children's worship school. And so they asked me, do you want to come and help? So I said, okay, so sure. So I went to SOP, Stream of Praise, and, you know, I joined for just as an adult volunteer. And I remember this one time that one of the ladies, she was sitting in the front and there was a bunch of kids listening to her, and she started sharing how God can speak to you every day through His Word. And, you know, that idea that God can speak to you, I always knew that, but somehow in that moment, it was like a divine, holy moment. For the first time in a while, like, I thought to myself, I looked at her and I said, wow, God is really speaking to her through the Word. because she was sharing, like, I was reading, you know, I was reading the Bible, and this is what the Lord said to me. And so I said, wow, God is really speaking to her. And after that meeting, I said to myself, man, I want to try again. I want to try again reading God's word and for myself doing the time with Abba. So every morning I started to really copy down the scripture. So I highlighted and I tried like to spend real quality time with the Lord in his word. And I think I started off spending like 20 minutes or so in the mornings. And it wasn't all at once, but over time, I really started to experience the sweetness of God's word. And God started to really speak to me through the time with Abba. And sometimes it just, some mornings it felt like an open faucet. Like there was so much that the Lord wanted to say to me. And so I just write it down, sometimes in bullet points, sometimes in paragraphs. And God would just speak to me. He would speak to me about my life, you know, myself. And it was like, his voice was so fatherly. It was like a father, like, speaking into my life. So since 2012, it's been like 6 years now. And I think over time, the sweetness and the appreciation for God's word has grown. And I can honestly say now that I enjoy spending time with God in his word. It took like 10, 15 years, but I got there. And these days, I will spend around 45 minutes to an hour every day. And I just copy down his word and I pray through it. And it's not like I'm getting wrecked every single morning, but it is like I'm sitting down like to have coffee with an old friend, or I feel like it's like having a conversation with your dad, you know. And so all those conversations, like, I really begin to appreciate it and I begin to treasure it. And so it's I feel like when I come before the Lord in the morning, it's like he encourages me. You know, on the days that I feel discouraged about life or ministry, he answers my questions. Like, sometimes I'll ask, it's like, you know how sometimes you throw up questions to the Lord and you don't expect that he'll answer it. But sometimes the Lord just like answers me directly. Like, for example, I met some friends, and they love God, and they're always so happy. So I said to them, how come they can have so much joy all the time? And I said, how is that possible? And then 20 minutes later, the Lord spoke to me. He said, well, it's because you have to combat it. It's like, it's the same way that you got out of depression, is that every day you said, I'm going to choose to rejoice. And so I said, oh, that's a good point. He's like, so I battled that, and every day I chose to focus on the truth of who God is, and I got to the point where I was marginally, you know, I wasn't positive, but I wasn't negative anymore. And then the Lord said, you just got to go a little bit further and keep rejoicing, and then you'll have that joy. I say, oh, I say, that's how you do it. He said, yeah. And so I say, oh, the Lord answered my question. All right. So, you know, you can ask God questions and he will really, you know, answer you. And sometimes he tells me insight about what to do, what not to do. Like, for the other example, I was taking a walk / jog, started as a jog and it ended as a walk. And I said, God, you know, actually, I didn't ask God a question. He just told me. He said, sometimes you're too harsh and sometimes you're too nice. And the key is to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will tell you in every single moment what you should do. And prior to that point, I said, I should just be nice all the time. And the Lord said, actually, that's not right. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. So in some moments with conversations, you have to bring a firm word. In other situations, you need to show grace and love. And so the Lord said, just listen to the Holy Spirit and he'll tell you what to do. I say, oh, that's wonderful insight, Lord. So I wrote that down. You know what I'm saying? It's like God can speak to you. And so this is my question to us today. Do you love the word of God? Loving God's word is the same thing as loving God himself. And if not, there's grace for you. Just like what I shared in my story, took me such a long time to get there, but now I kind of appreciate and savor God's word. So like what I was saying in the beginning, you know, it's okay. Like, it's all right. Like, wherever you are in that journey, we can choose to say, God, you know, I really want to try again. I want to really savor your word and spend time with you. And so this afternoon, I want to give an invitation for you to say to the Lord, like, God, I want to try again. I want to start to learn to savor your word. You know, and if you have not been reading God's word, or, you know, there's been seasons that you haven't, maybe we need to confess the spirit of disobedience. Maybe it's something that we know that it was something that God wanted us to do, but maybe in our own disobedience or our own pride that we just didn't do it. And so, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If it is a spirit of disobedience or pride, we need to lay that down before the Lord this afternoon. But that's the invitation that I want to make to us this afternoon. And this Sunday is also communion. But I think it is so fitting is that as we remember Jesus' sacrifice, you know, Jesus came and he tore the veil so that we can know God, so that we can hear his word, that we can have communion with him. So I want to invite us to stand today. You can close your eyes. Is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. So Lord, today wants to put in us the sweetness of experiencing the word of God in our life. And as we take communion, we remember that Jesus Christ has died and risen again and has torn the veil so that we can know him. So the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so you can spend some time this afternoon committing yourself to the Lord and say, "Lord, I receive your broken body. I receive your blood. Not just for the sake of receiving it, but so that I can know you, so that I can hear you, so that I can love your word." And so I want you to take some time before you come up and take communion, is just have some time with the Lord. And if you want to make a commitment to read his word again, then just make that a prayer to the Lord. Say, "God, I want to try again. I really want to read your word." And after you spend some time praying with the Lord, then you can come up and take the communion and then return back to your seat.
God, that we need you, Lord. God, that you are our one defense, God, our righteousness, Lord. And so, God, this afternoon we remember that it is through Jesus Christ and that your shed blood and your body that was broken for us, Lord, that we can receive the true life. And so today we receive not only your sacrifice, God, but that you have torn the veil, Lord, so that we can approach you, God, that we can approach the presence of the Lord. And so today, God, we want to receive the gift of knowing Abba, Father, that we can hear your voice speaking to us, God, that we can experience the sweetness of your word, God, speaking to us, Lord. And so I bless you in Jesus' name, that every day that you would feel the Lord and hear the Lord speaking to you. I bless you that the Lord takes away the shame and the guilt of saying, oh, I didn't try hard enough, or I haven't been a good Christian. And we cut that off in Jesus' name. And today the Lord gives you an invitation. He says, come to me, my child, and I will share with you my heart. And so I bless you that you would have the fresh hunger, the desire, the love, and say, I want to spend time with the Lord. I want to spend time with Abba, Father, and hear Him speaking to me. So I bless you with the fresh hunger and the desire to know Him. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.